Thank you very much. I've asked you to turn in your Bibles where?
Psalm 91.
Psalm 91. We're going to be talking about the ministry of angels. Amen. We're going to be talking about qualifying for angelic assistance in your life. Amen. What is today's date?
October 31st,
2007. We set our clocks back this weekend. Amen. Everybody knows that. Amen. Hallelujah. Barbara, you can remind everybody on the way out. Helen, you remind Barbara to remind everybody on the way out, please. And Barbara, you remind Helen to remind Barbara on the way out. Amen? To set our clocks back. We don't need to be... What would happen if we didn't? Don't set your clocks back this weekend. Amen? Don't do it until Monday. That way we'll all be here an hour early. Is that correct? Hallelujah. Do angels help just anybody? Who qualifies for angelic assistance in their lives? Amen? You know, there's a common teaching, and here again, I've asked you to go to Psalm 91. Everybody's waiting for me, sitting there reading it. Let's all wait and get there together. Amen? That's just the way it goes. Amen? I'm not singling anybody out. Amen?
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. You know who you are. You always laugh out loud, and you reveal who you are. I never tell anybody. See? Look. All the readers are laughing. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a common misconception in the body of Christ, you know, that everybody has a guardian angel, and that's not true. It's not true that everybody has a guardian angel. There's nowhere in Scripture where you will find that everybody has a guardian angel. It's just not in there. And Jesus said in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established, didn't he? Right over there in Matthew chapter 18. Well, do you know in the same chapter... Well, I said that. Jesus said in the mouths of two or three witnesses, you need to have two or three confirming verses of Scripture for everything that you believe in doctrine. You shouldn't be believing it. You don't have one verse of Scripture to prove that everybody has a guardian angel. Never mind two or three. Amen? Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 18. You have to have two or three confirming verses of Scripture. Barbara's sitting here smiling at me. She's thinking, there he goes again, kicking over people's sacred cows. Amen? That's my job. Hallelujah. We really know you're laughing because you were reading and you got busted. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 18, the same chapter, Jesus said that we are to treat little children with dignity and respect because their angels, plural, are always before the face of God. See, we don't have a guardian angel. We have a multiplicity of guardian angels. It's even better than the Catholics say. I'm a Catholic, I can say that. I'm a Catholic Pentecostal, spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking, Roman Catholic Pentecostal, amen? I'm a Catholic Pentecostal. I can talk about Catholics. If you're not a Catholic, you can't. If you're a Baptist, you can make fun of the Baptists. I can't. I'm not a Baptist. But I'm a Catholic Pentecostal, so I can say that. I was raised believing that everybody has a guardian angel. Jesus said everybody has two or more. He said their angels, plural, are ever before the face of the Father. Isn't that good news? We do have guardian angels, plural, that are assigned to us. Amen. Angels are real, they're innumerable, they're powerful, and they are sent forth to minister on behalf of those who don't read ahead in Psalm 91 when the pastor asks them not to, so that you won't miss what the Holy Spirit's saying. Amen? Pastor, you can't tell me I can't read Psalm 91. No, I can't. But I am anyway. I'm asking you to just listen up here. Don't go off somewhere else now reading, because you'll miss what the Holy Spirit wants to impart to you tonight. Amen? Listen, it appears from Scripture that angels are something like we used to be before the fall of Adam. There's something like we used to be in our perfected state before Adam fell. They can become or appear as, they can turn into human beings and actually become what we are right now. But they're nothing like what we're going to be when we get to heaven. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
I said it appears from Scripture that angels are something like we used to be when we were in our perfected state before Adam fell. They can become, they can take on the form of man and become what we are right now. And change back into angels. You see that throughout Scripture. But they're nothing like what we're going to be when Jesus comes and catches us away and we get to heaven. We'll have all dominion and authority over them. We'll tell them what to do throughout all of eternity. Matter of fact, Psalm 103 verse 20 says we ought to be telling the angels of God what they need to be doing on our behalf right now. Amen? So who qualifies for angelic assistance? Amen. Do you qualify? The only way to find out, to answer the question, is to look at some of the lives of people who have already been helped by angels in the Bible. But before we do that, we're going to read Psalm 91 together now. Everybody, heads down. Psalm 91, let's pick it up in verse 11. For he, I shouldn't give you the scriptures anymore, because I tell you to go there three or four times and I never seem to get there, and you just keep trying to read and I keep trying to tell you not to. Maybe I shouldn't tell you where we're going anymore. That's my fault. I repent for tempting you and testing you in that way. Amen? Please forgive the pastor for putting more on you than you can bear. Obviously. Psalm 91, verse 11. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands. It actually means, if a more literal translation, is they'll protect you with their power. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the symbolic of Satan and demon powers. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, God speaking about you, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him and her. Amen. This is a generic term for the human race. You women are included here too. With long life will I satisfy him and her and show him and her my salvation. The Bible says God gives his angels, there again, plural. Not one. Plural. He gives a plurality of angels charge over each of us to keep us in all of our ways. Amen? So, who qualifies for angelic assistance? We're going to have to get right into it. Amen? We're limited for time. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, I trust you to show me what to share and what not to share. Amen? Sometimes in preaching and teaching, the biggest concern you have is what not to preach, not what to preach. This Bible is so full, so full. There's over 300 references to angels in the Bible, and 104 of those are angels appearing to human beings. Angels appear to human beings, amen? I've seen no less than 6 angels in the 26 years that I've been saved, and I've had 2 visitations of Jesus. Angels appear to men and to women to assist them and to help them and to speak to them on God's behalf. Amen? Now, you might struggle with that in your mind. I've had other people tell, I don't believe that. I don't believe you've seen angels. Well, your head's no place for my happiness. Amen? I don't walk with God based on what somebody else believes. I walk with God based on what I believe according to the precious, holy, written word of God and the encounters He's blessed me and had mercy on me and enabled me to experience in Him. Amen. Angels are real. I've seen them. I've seen them look like angels. I've seen them look like men, like human beings. One angel that I saw in Tulsa, Oklahoma a number of years ago, he looked exactly like a man. Just like a man dressed in white. Well, how do you know he wasn't a man, Pastor John? Well, if he is the only 12-foot man I ever saw. 12-foot tall, I'd say that man was. That angel. Angels do appear as men and as giant men in Scripture. So who qualifies for the assistance of these giant, what the Bible calls all-powerful men? Who qualifies for assistance? You're going to take notes tonight, aren't you? Hallelujah. Some of those who have been helped by angels in Scripture are people who love God with great devotion, but they don't really know Him. People who love God with great devotion, but they don't really know Him. That's an unusual statement. I'll give you a moment to write that down. Amen? People who love God with great devotion, but don't really know Him, qualify for angelic intervention in their lives. Amen? We just read over there in Psalm 91, as you turn to Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, because he hath set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I'll give angels charge over you in all of your ways for setting your love upon me. Over here in Acts chapter 10, we have an example of a man, a company of people actually head up by a man called Cornelius who loved God with great devotion, but they didn't know him. They didn't know him through Jesus Christ. Amen? They had no revelation. Listen, the love of Jehovah God is the beginning of all spiritual manifestations. The love of Jehovah God is the very beginning of all spiritual manifestations. Amen? And here we have in Acts chapter 10, a man named Cornelius. He was totally devoted to God, but he didn't know Jesus. Amen? He loved the God of Israel, but he didn't have revelation of Jesus. And are you there in Acts chapter 10? Verse 1, there was a certain man. See, it says a certain man. This is not a parable. This is a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. They did Italian music at Italian weddings, apparently. No, this was a military contingent. Amen? And he was a centurion. The Italian band had over 600 men in it, and Cornelius was in charge of at least 100 of them. That's what centurions did. And look, he was a devout man, and one that feared or had an awesome respect for God. God doesn't want us to fear him. That word is awesome respect. He had an awesome respect for God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people. See, he was a generous giver, and he prayed to God always. Is a devout man who didn't even know God. He's trying to worship him. Amen? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius! And when he looked on him, he was afraid. Been there. Done that. Whew! And said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms. See, almsgiving is giving to the poor. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God sent me here to you today because he heard your prayers, he sees your faith, and he sees your giving. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. That's the Apostle Peter. You know who Peter is. Amen? Everybody remember Peter? Ready? Fire! Aim! Tempestuous Peter. Amen? Shoot first, ask questions. Well, Peter had a big change in his life at this time. The angel said, send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Well, he did as he was instructed. We won't read any further there, but we will say this. Angels of God in the dispensation in which we live cannot preach the gospel. That is a job reserved for human beings. Amen? During the tribulation period, the Bible reveals in the book of Revelation that angels will hover, fly above the earth, and call men unto repentance. In that dispensation, during the tribulation period. But in the dispensation in which we live, angels cannot preach the gospel. But they can appear to people and tell them where they can go find the preacher and have the gospel preached to them. That's what the angel did. If the angel was allowed to preach the gospel, he would have preached to Cornelius and his household. But he's not allowed to preach the gospel. So he had to send Cornelius down to where Peter was. Amen? Listen, Cornelius loved God, as did his entire house. They had great devotion for God, but they didn't really know him. And an angel appeared from God, from the throne room of God, to give that man direction as to where he could hear the gospel preached. And he obeyed what the angel said. And the end result was his whole house was born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues. If you read the whole chapter, it ends down there in verse 44 through 46. But you're not going to do that right now, are you? We're here to pre-listen to preaching tonight. Amen? We're not here for a public reading of the scripture. Amen? I look at my wife over here so that nobody knows who I'm talking to. Amen. Come on, everybody, smile. We're all in this together. Amen. Hallelujah. Who else qualifies for angelic assistance? People who do know God and serve Him with devotion. People who do know God and serve Him with devotion, commitment, and consecration qualify for angelic assistance. Amen. You will recall. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the readers. You will recall. Don't be angry with me now. Amen. Hallelujah. You will recall Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he refused to comply with a decree by King Darius that you will pray to no other god other than the false god that Darius set up. He refused to do it. When everybody else in town was cringing to Darius' command, now hiding behind the sofa and praying, Daniel threw open the living room doors and he prayed over the whole country. And he got busted for it. You know the narrative over there in Daniel. Oh, I shouldn't tell you where it is. You'll go read it. Daniel chapter 6. We won't go over there. He got thrown in the lion's den for not complying with the decree of King Darius. Now, Darius loved Daniel. He didn't want to throw him in there. He got tricked into that. He made a decree, if anybody prays to any other god except the god that I set up, it's death. And the laws and the decrees of the Medes and the Persians in that day, you find this in Esther chapter 1, if you want to put it in your notes, I believe it's Esther chapter 1, verse 19. The laws of the Medes and the Persians in that day, they were irreversible. Even King Darius didn't have the power to reverse a decree of his own. If he put his ring signet on it, it was irreversible. He had to throw his good buddy Daniel in the lion's den. Well, Darius sweated out the whole night after having thrown Daniel in that lion's den. You know the narrative. You know the story. Darius came in the morning and he shouted down into the lion's den. He said, Daniel, was your God able to protect you? And Daniel shouted back, fear not, King Darius. God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion. Amen? He lived in that. He probably snuggled up with a couple of them lions to stay warm all night. Amen? The angel of God came and supernaturally shut those lions' mouth to protect him. Amen? God can send his angels to supernaturally protect you in times of crisis and extreme danger. He can do the same because you're committed to God. You're devoted to God. You're consecrated to God. Amen? And you prove it when you don't read, when the pastor's preaching. Hallelujah. God, send your angel to protect me. Hey, get me out of here safe tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. Amen. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told, you're not praying to anybody but the false god that I set up. If you do, into the fiery furnace you go. And they said, well, our God's able to deliver us. He might not, but he's able. But we're not praying to your false god. So he threw them in the fire. And it says in Daniel chapter, this was another king. This was about 20 years prior to what happened to Daniel in the lion's den. Prior to King Darius, this was under King Nebuchadnezzar, he threw him in there. He looked into the opening in the furnace in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, and he said, I see a fourth man in there. The angel of the Lord. Didn't I throw three people in there? There's four people in there, and one of them has the appearance of the angel of the Lord. God sent his angel in there to protect them. Amen? Because they were devoted to God. They were committed to God. They were consecrated to God. Everybody doesn't qualify for angelic assistance because everybody in the body of Christ isn't consecrated, committed, and dedicated to the Word of God, to the work of God, and to the things of God. But if you are, you do. Amen? How about Mary, the mother of Jesus? Let's go to Luke chapter 1 quickly. Amen? She was willing to suffer extreme humiliation and rejection of men to be used of God. She was consecrated, amen. Remember the angel came to her and said, oh, Mary, thou highly favored of God, blessed art thou amongst women. You notice that the Bible doesn't say to Mary, about Mary, blessed art thou above women. It says, blessed art thou amongst women, amen. Mary's not the co-redeemer of the world, amen. Mary's a disciple of Jesus. Last time we hear Mary speak in the Bible is at the wedding feast of Cana. As you go over there to Luke chapter 1 and resist the temptation to read, Mary said at the wedding feast of Cana, she said, whatsoever Jesus saith unto you, do it. And Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Mary grew up in Jesus' household. She said, whatever he says, do it. Don't do what I say. Do what he says. Mary got born again. Mary is born again. Mary is in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, getting baptized with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. You can read that over there. So last time we hear her in the Bible, she said, whatever Jesus saith unto you, do that. And then the last time we see her in the Bible, she's not speaking. But she's up there in the upper room getting baptized with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Amen. Now Mary was devoted, committed, and consecrated to God, willing to suffer extreme humiliation and the rejection of men to be used of God. Can you imagine when she first started telling people? She's the 14-year-old girl showing up around the neighborhood pregnant, unmarried. Whew! Amen? Joseph asked you, what's going on? Can you imagine the persecution, the neighbors? What's going on? Well, I'm pregnant. Well, who's the father? Who you been cheating around town with? Nobody. God's the father. I'm giving birth to the Messiah. If Barbara ever came home and told me that before we were married, I'd say, get the hook. Okay, a little pulpit humor. Hallelujah. Who's going to listen to something like that? The persecution, the consecration, the dedication she was willing to go through. God knew that she'd stick with him through it. The angel came and said, you'll give birth to the Messiah. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll rule over Judah. His kingdom will reign forever. Let's pick it up right here in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. The angel Gabriel then said to Mary unto the angel Gabriel, who had appeared with this message, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jump down to verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said to the angel, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Total devotion to the revealed will of God for her life. These are the kind of people that angels appear to. These are the kind of people that angels assist. Amen. Amen. Angels help people who are devoted to God, who love God, even if they don't know Him, but they want to know Him. Angels assist those who are devoted to God, who do know Him and are willing to live consecrated lifestyles before Him. Amen. Angels also help people with unusual needs. Exodus chapter 14. Jump on over there. Amen. God doesn't just throw angelic intervention out there because He's a Las Vegas-style entertainer. Amen. Angelic visitation isn't about entertainment. Amen. We must be devoted and have special needs for angelic visitation. Amen. Now, no one, as you're turning over there to Exodus chapter 14, nobody in the Bible was ever praying for an angelic visitation when it occurred. The angels that I have seen, the visitations that I've had of the Lord Jesus, at times I was praying when these events occurred, but I wasn't praying for visions. I wasn't praying to see Jesus. I wasn't praying to see angels. I knew in the Bible that nobody in the Bible was ever praying about that when that happened. If we need angelic assistance, angelic visitation, angelic appearances, the Father will determine that. We don't have to ask Him if we can see an angel. Amen? If we pressure God to see angels, Satan will accommodate us. And we'll think it's God. You know, Paul said that Satan himself can disguise himself. That's easy for me to say. Can disguise himself as an angel of light. You don't want to pray to see angels, because Satan will accommodate you. You'll end up with counterfeits. You'll end up deceived. Amen. If we need angelic assistance, visitation, if we need a vision of an angel, God will determine that. And He'll cause that to come to pass in our lives. Amen. Angels help people with unusual needs. You must be devoted to God. You must have an unusual need, like Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Over here in Exodus chapter 14, 6.5 million people being released into a hostile desert environment out of Egypt. Amen. Into the desert. And look right here, Exodus 14, let's start in verse 14. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went before them. The angel of the Lord came to deliver them from Egypt and appeared. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood before them. And it came, the pillar of cloud came between the camp of the Israelites and the Egyptians, the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but to the Egyptians. It blinded them. But it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other in the night. Amen? The angel of the Lord appeared to Israel on their behalf. Let me just say, you know, there's just so many ways we could go with the subject of angels. I know I'm to share this with you. Throughout the Old Testament, whenever you see a reference to the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ appearing as an angel. Did you get that? in the Old Testament, whenever you see a reference to the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to Jesus appearing to someone or to masses of people as an angel. This angel of the Lord that we see appearing to Israel, delivering them from Egypt, is Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, you want to put that in your notes, every time you see a reference to the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to Jesus appearing as an angel on behalf of humanity. When you see a reference to the angel of the Lord in the New Testament, it's no longer referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, because at that point Jesus had become flesh. Amen? At that point he had become a man. Amen? Every reference in the Old Testament to the angel of the Lord is a reference to Jesus. That will help you in your reading. It's a reference to Jesus appearing as an angel. And if you want confirming verses of Scripture for that, because Jesus said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established, you will find in Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4, put that in your notes, all the confirmation that you need. Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4. You can also look in Mark chapter 12 and verse 26. And you can also look in the book of Acts, Stephen preaching, in Acts chapter 7, 30 through 35. Let me give those to you again. You can look them up later in your own time. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 4. Mark chapter 12, 26, those would be the words of Jesus. And Acts chapter 7, 30 through 35. Did I get those, Barbara? That's all the biblical evidence you need, but there's much more to prove to you that the angel of the Lord throughout the Old Testament was the Lord Jesus Christ appearing as an angel. And that's what he did right here on behalf of the nation of Israel. 6.5 million people being released into the desert. The angel of the Lord appeared as a cloud by day and fire by night to protect them. Amen? Amen? They had an unusual need. If you have an unusual need and God determines that you need angelic assistance and angelic intervention, angelic deliverance, He'll see to it that you get it. But you don't want to pray, "Oh God, send your angel!" You just say, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need your help. However you determine is best for me, that's what I'll receive from you." And He'll move on your behalf. If you need an angel, He'll send an angel to you. Again, I've seen six angels, well, I saw two of them together at one time when the Lord Jesus Christ first appeared to me. He had two angels with Him, one to either side of Him. Just like Ezekiel's angels, they had wheels for feet. Those angels had wings. I've seen them without wings. But never was I praying to see Jesus or to see angels. And if we do that, Satan will accommodate us and he'll deceive us. Amen? No one in the Bible who ever received angelic visitation or angelic assistance was praying to receive it. God determined that that's what was best for them. Amen? Hallelujah. Who else needs intervention of angels? Amen? Where can we go here? But you know, before we even move on, we're talking about angels helping people with unusual needs. Peter, go to Acts chapter 12 real quick if you would. Just so you can see what I'm talking about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. You get anything out of this, Barbara?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Helen, you get anything out of this? Anybody else get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Should we close here or should we move on? I got a little more for you. Amen. You believe in angels?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Are you devoted to God? Are you committed to God? Are you consecrated to God? Do you love God? Do you want to do God's will and not your will? That's all Barbara and I live for. Not for me to do her will or her to do my will, but for us to do God's will. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Glory be to God. Are you there in Acts chapter 12? Look right here. Peter's in prison, waiting to be executed on Easter for being such a good preacher. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7 says, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, And a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And without going any further into it for time's sake, he let him out. All the doors in the prison opened. The word is automatos. Every time they encountered a prison door, the Greek word is automatos. It opened automatically on its own. And Peter found himself standing out in the street in front of the jail with that angel. And the angel turned around, took off in the other direction. That's supernatural. The angel of the Lord. But that's not a reference to Jesus. Jesus had already been born in the flesh. Every reference in the New Testament to the angel of the Lord is no longer a reference to Jesus coming in the form of an angel. Every reference to the angel of the Lord and angel of the Lord in the New Testament is a reference to Hebrew 1:14 type angels, regular angels. The ones who are ministering spirits, Hebrews 1:14 says, sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. That's you and that's me. Amen? That wasn't Jesus appearing to Peter. That was an angel of the Lord, not Jesus in an angel's body. Amen? Peter was devoted. He devoted his life to God. Amen? Hallelujah. He did everything he knew to do. He came to the end of himself. Here he is in prison awaiting execution, and God delivered him supernaturally. When we do everything we know to do to obey God in the natural, even to the point where we've come to the end of ourselves and we can do nothing more to help ourselves, that's where God picks up with the supernatural, intervenes in our lives on our behalf in the supernatural, even with angelic intervention if that is necessary. I can tell you experientially He will do it. I can tell you He will do it. He's done it for me. Amen? Okay, people who have need of information concerning the present. Mary, we're talking about who qualifies for angelic intervention. Amen? This is good teaching, if I have to say so myself. Amen? People who have intervention concerning present needs qualify for angelic intervention. Mary needed to know that that child that was on the inside of her was of God. I mean, what was she going to think if that angel didn't appear to her? She comes up pregnant and she realizes, I've never been with a man. What in the world? She needed present information. That angel that came to her gave her a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning events of the past or the present. She needed to know presently how she conceived that child. And that angel came and told her it happened by the Holy Ghost. Amen? She had need of information concerning the present. Amen? Cornelius had need. We just read over there in Acts chapter 10. He needed information concerning the present. How do I find God? Where do I find God? God sent the angel to tell him where he could find Peter. Amen? People who have need of information concerning the future qualify for angelic assistance. Amen? Daniel's visions in the book of Daniel. I don't know if you've ever read them or not. I'm just going to read to you Daniel chapter 8, verse 16. It came to pass, one of the visions that Daniel had, it confused him horribly, it frightened him. Daniel said, "When I saw the vision, I sought for the meaning, and I didn't understand it. Then suddenly there stood before me, as of the appearance of a man," because angels can't appear as men, but they're much bigger than men, "I heard another man's voice between the banks of Uli, which calleth, and said, Gabriel, make Daniel to understand this vision." If you ever have a dream or a vision that you don't understand, God can send an angel to interpret it for you, just like He did with Daniel. That happened to Ezekiel consistently. Ezekiel had consistent visions concerning coming world empires that he didn't understand. And God sent angels to him to interpret those dreams for him. That can happen to you because you love God, because you're devoted to God, because you're committed to God. You qualify. You qualify. If God determines that's what you need, if you have need of information concerning the present or the future, God can get that information to you. Amen? Listen, we're going to close here, but before we do, you go to Matthew chapter 1. The Holy Spirit just put it on my heart to just stir you up concerning angelic intervention and who qualifies for angelic assistance in their lives. Basically, what we're seeing here tonight is this. If you love God, if you are devoted to God, if you desire to do everything according to the precious, holy, written Word of God, if you are committed and consecrated to God through the precious, holy, written Word of God, you qualify for angelic assistance. Sometimes you have There's times in your life, I'm confident, I can say this to every person in this room, where you've received angelic assistance and you don't even know it. And you don't even know it. Because you didn't see the angels. Amen? But they'll come. And you know, Joel said in the last days, you know what Joel said? He said that there'll be an increase of spiritual activity in the earth. He said your young men will dream, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will have visions, your handmaidens will prophesy. Joel was saying in the last days there's going to be an increase of spiritual activity. If anybody ever lived in the last days, we do. There is about to be an increase of spiritual activity in this earth unlike any other time in all of human history. The angels of God are in the earth even now as I speak to you tonight, preparing the way for the harvest that's coming into the earth that's even here now. And if we'll keep ourselves right, if we'll live holy, moral, pure, upright existence before God, God will see to it that we have all the angelic assistance that we need. And in some cases, yea, even in many cases, says the Spirit of God, there will be visitations of angels in your lives, and you will, through an operation of the discerning of spirits, even see them, says the Spirit of God. Did you hear that?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go over there to Matthew chapter 1. Amen. We'll close with this. There's so many other examples. There's so many other ways we could go. But in closing, let me just remind you of how badly Joseph, the husband of Mary, needed information from God. Amen. I told you, I'd need it too if it were me and my fiance came up pregnant and swore she was a virgin and told me God did it, baby, really. Really, touch my womb, put the Messiah in there. I'm not about to listen to that. Amen? I mean, a natural man? Woo-hoo! Look right here. Matthew 1:19. Poor Joseph. Hallelujah. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Angels can appear in dreams. They can appear in open visions, trances, or spiritual visions. Amen. That's how they've appeared to me. I've had angels appear to me in a dream, an open vision, a trance, and even a spiritual vision on the inside of my spirit. The angel came to Joseph, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is indeed of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, and this is a reference to Isaiah 7:14, if you want to make a note of it, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God is with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to say this to you in closing tonight. If indeed, I shouldn't say if, the Lord just said some of you will be privileged in coming days to have visitations through discerning of spirits, to have visitations of angels, and you will see them. But whenever an angel comes and offers us guidance, it must always be according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. Angels of God will never lead against the Word of God. They'll never speak crosswise or contrary to the Word of God. The Apostle said, put it in your notes, Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said, even if an angel from heaven comes preaching any other doctrine other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The angels of God will never speak or move or act in any way contrary to the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen. This angel gave Joseph scripture. This angel referred Joseph back to the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied that there was there's many other scriptures in Zechariah and Amos. All, you know, every one of the prophets in the Old Testament pointed toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah spoke specifically of a virgin giving birth. He was able to refer Jesus back to scripture. Amen? If an angel ever tells you to do something, you say, give me scripture! He'll be glad to do it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So, do you qualify? Do you know Jesus personally? Hallelujah. Are you devoted to His way of doing things 24/7? Do you have unusual needs? Everyone ultimately has unusual needs. Amen. If you need information of past, present, or future events, God wants to help you if you'll believe. Let's stand up. God wants to help you if you'll believe. I said, God wants to help you if you believe. Amen. And if God determines that you need angelic visitation, He'll see to it that He'll gets it, that it gets to you. Let's worship God. Let's use our faith before we dismiss here tonight. Father, I put on my heart. I spoke to these people which You put on my heart, Lord. I spoke to them what You put on my heart, Father. You're preparing them. These are things we need to know. We need to know. Don't pray for angelic assistance. Don't ask God for angelic assistance. Leave it up to Him. He knows what is best. He knows what is best. But when and if He determines that you need it, and it does happen, you make sure it's scriptural, whatever an angel tells you to do. Whatever an angel tells you to do. The angels of God have great understanding of the Word of God. They have great knowledge of God's Word. You can ask angels for confirming verses of Scripture, and they'll give them to you in context. If Jesus were to appear to you and give you instruction, He would not be insulted, He would not be offended. If you asked Him for Scripture, He would be pleased with you. I said He would be pleased with you. Lift your hands and just worship Him. Father, and we are to never worship angels. In the book of Revelation, there are 52 occurrences of angels appearing and speaking to the Apostle John or showing him something in one way or another. At one point, John went to worship an angel, and that angel said, "Stand on your feet and don't do that. I'm a fellow servant such as you." We are to not worship angels. The Spirit of the Lord is moving on me to remind you of these things tonight for reasons that I know not of. We are not to worship angels. A true angel of God, if you do attempt to worship Him, He'll tell you, get on your feet and do not do that. I'm a fellow servant like you. The Bible reveals that angels are part of the family of God. We are not to worship them. But we can command them. We can tell them, go. Psalm 103:20 says that the angels of God hearken to the voice of God's Word. We can commission them and command them to go and to see to it that our needs are met. Say, angels of God,
angels of God,
go.
Go.
Accompany.
Accompany.
Preserve.
Preserve.
And defend.
And defend.
Myself.
Myself.
And my family.
And my family.
In all of our ways.
In all of our ways.
According to
Psalm 103:20.
Angels of God.
Angels of God.
Go.
Go.
And cause prosperity to come.
And cause prosperity to come.
According to Psalm 35:27.
According to Psalm 35:27.
The Bible says that the angels of God do His good pleasure, and the Bible also says that God's good pleasure is prosperity. We can't tell angels to go and bring money to us, but we can tell them to go and cause our circumstances to be such that prosperity and financial provision will come if we believe. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But we are not to worship angels. We are not to pray for angelic visitation. And an angel of God, if an angel ever appears to you and speaks against the precious, holy, written Word of God, just rebuke him and tell him to go in Jesus' name. Someone in more than one person in this room is being prepared for something. More than one people within the sound of my voice listening to me by radio, shortwave radio, by the internet and by television. Be forewarned. It's true, the saying, as we would say, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, if any angel ever appears to you preaching anything other than the revelation which I've already preached to you, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. God, give us wisdom now in dealing with angelic visitation, Father. We know, God, that we have angels who accompany, preserve, and defend us. Jesus said so. A plurality of angels, Father. You said that You set Your angels around us and our loved ones, Father, to encamp round about us and to protect us in all of our ways. Father, this information that came forth tonight, bring it to their remembrance should they ever have need of it now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say yes to Your will, God. We say yes, Father. We're open to anything You want to do in our lives concerning the activity of angels. We believe. We believe, God. We believe that they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to us as heirs of salvation. But we'll leave it up to You, God, how they are to operate in our lives and whether they will appear to us or not. in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say this, that this is what's in my heart. Someone has prayed for visitation of an angel or angels. Someone listening into my voice right now, you have prayed that way. And you're going to want to uproot that seed. You want to, as you leave here tonight, you want to repent. You want to ask God. You just go to the Father. You say, Father, I didn't know that until tonight. And I ask you to forgive me. And He will. And then you withdraw that prayer. And you tell the devil, I will not receive a visitation or a counterfeit from you in Jesus' strong name. I'm